Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Isaiah the prophet said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." And Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what Isaiah had spoken. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so his earthly ministry begins. This is our text. At Christmas, we celebrate our Lord's coming to Bethlehem, but in the Epiphany season, we now find our Lord in a different place, up in Nazareth and now moving to beside the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum. The region where Jesus locates himself is a region that has a lot of history in it. And so I want to take you back through a little bit of the history around Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee. This was a different time, but in the same place. Darkness covered the land. Thick darkness was over the people. Having served idols, God gave them into the hands of their enemies, as he had threatened to do. The people were living under harsh rule. They suffered oppression. At times, the situation was so bad, so dark, they had to escape into dens in the mountains, into caves, and into strongholds, just to survive. Out of this darkness they were living in, out of this oppression they were feeling, out of their sin and their suffering, they cried for help, and the Lord heard their cry. He heard, and he called a man, saying, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel. Do I not send you?" And so this man went. He went to this region, to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, near the Sea of Galilee. He went into the darkness with a small band of warriors against a much larger enemy force. He and his men encircled the enemy camp, in one hand holding a trumpet, and in the other, an empty jar hiding a torch. And at his signal, all 300 of them blew their trumpets, and they smashed their jars, and they held up their torches, and the light shined in the darkness. And the enemy was routed in panic. Isaiah reminds us of this victory. "For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian." As on the day when Gideon, the judge, defeated the Midianites with trumpets and torches and won the victory over their kings Zeba and Zalmunna. For on that day, in that former time, through Gideon, the Lord rescued the northern tribes. He rescued Zebulun and Naphtali and the land of Galilee from their darkness. A picture of what was to come. A foreshadowing of what would be. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And now move forward in time, to the latter time, more than 1,000 years later, that same land had been trampled time and time again by the boots of tramping warriors in battle formation. Army after army had marched through, devastating the land, taking the people captive. Many of those armies had come from the north, sweeping along the way of the sea, first the Assyrians, then the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks, and now it was the Romans. Can you imagine? 1,000 years after Gideon had freed the people of this land, they are sitting again in deep darkness. And they are wondering, what has become of Isaiah's promise? Where was the great light for those who walk in darkness? When would it shine? And the Lord saw their darkness, the darkness of their sin and their suffering, the darkness of the daily grind that ended in death. And he remembered the promise, and he sent a man, born of woman, one greater than Gideon. He told him, "Go in this might and this majesty of yours and save Israel. Do I not send you?" And so Jesus came. Having heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in this land, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, in the place of deep darkness and where the shadow of death was hovering, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. But this time, the one whom God sent came not to fight against flesh and blood. He did not gather an army around him with trumpets and with torches, but he himself came in his might and in his majesty and in his strength. And he came in the flesh to carry out his work of salvation. One man against a whole host. One man against the sin of the world and the suffering that the world experiences. One man against death itself. And our Lord came, and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A strange way to fight. No sword out to battle, no armies marching behind him, no shield to guard him, but simply this proclamation: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is how our Lord does battle against the forces of sin, death, and the devil. He calls to repentance, and he proclaims that the kingdom, the light, the great light, is present in his own flesh and blood, in him. And we heard how our Lord, when he announced the coming of this kingdom, when he began proclaiming that he himself is the light, how he called others to follow him. He found Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, later James and John as well, and he said to them, "Follow me. Follow me." And you know what they did? They dropped everything and they followed him. They left their nets. James and John left their father. I can kind of imagine Zebedee stuttering after them, "Where are you guys going?" They're following Jesus. They have seen the light. They have seen the great light of God's new creation. They have seen the light that brings the life of God to men. And they knew too, we must walk in this light or die. We must follow this light or we will be lost in darkness forever. And so they do. And I don't have to remind you that Peter and Andrew and James and John, while they do leave everything to follow Jesus, they are not exactly perfect followers of Jesus from day one on. You know their struggles. You know the questions they have. You know the doubts that Peter expresses and Andrew and James and John as well, and the questions that the other disciples bring. You remember St. Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead. So they follow him, but not perfect followers. Questioning, wondering, doubting, weakness. And our Lord goes on. He calls the disciples to follow him, to follow the light. Follow his torch where he leads. And then he goes about the region, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. We're told that our Lord comes preaching and he comes healing. He comes proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he brings the kingdom of God in his own touch and his own flesh and through his own word. Here is the one who is going about the king's business. He is the king's messenger. He has the full authority of his Father in heaven to let the light shine and to push back the darkness of every sin and of every suffering and to bring God's light to their ravaged creation. And he does. Our Lord shines his light in the darkness. And John reminds us that the darkness did not receive the light. The darkness, in fact, tried to swallow up the light. Our Lord shined in the darkness, and Galilee received him, and the word went out. But as time went on, the shadows lengthened around him, until finally, on that Good Friday, the darkness covered the whole land. Can you imagine what the disciples went through then? "Follow me," Jesus had said, and they're staring at him hanging on the cross. And darkness is covering the land, and they're wondering what has happened to the light and the life that God promised. And the doubts creep in again, and in their weakness, they keep their distance or they wander away, and they think that God's promised light has come to nothing, and that darkness will rule the land again, maybe forever. But you know that it didn't. You know that the light shined again on Easter Sunday. Our Lord rose from the dead. This is why we picture, why we remember that Easter falls not only on the morning when the women came as the new light dawns over the world, but why we often picture the grave as having light shining forth from it, proclaiming the victory of the light over the darkness, of our Lord over sin and death and the devil. Dear friends, that is what our Lord has done. But more than that is the fact that this same Lord who came in the flesh then, who won the victory over darkness, who came to the land that was under the shadow of death, this is the one who comes to us today. The light shines among us. The light calls us. The light reaches out to us with his life and salvation that he might touch us and give to us what belongs to him. Is it dark where we live? Does darkness cover our land? There's no doubt about it. In my mind, and there should be no doubt about it in yours. All sorts of ways that we can see this darkness at work in our world. Read the headlines, watch the news, look into your own heart, and you see the blackness as well. Recognize the darkness that we see, not only of death, but of the sicknesses that so often afflict us and the diagnoses that change our lives. And then the darkness of conflicts and divisions, the darkness of relationships broken, sometimes within our own households, among our own families. There is certainly darkness in our land, darkness around us, and darkness within us. And this is why our Lord has come. This is why he brings his light here. Not because we are filled with light and life, but because he is filled with light and life, and he wants to push back the darkness in and among us. And so our Lord calls to us, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sin, put it away from you, and seek the life that he brings." Our Lord calls us like he called Peter and Andrew, "Follow me." And I wonder, what are the things that we've been holding on to that we need to let go? What are the things we need to set down and leave behind as we follow the light? Our Lord brings the healing that is needed. And I know we have our illnesses and our sufferings and our struggles, our chronic problems and the acute ones. And it may not be the case that our Lord brings that perfect and full healing to us now and here, but we know that he has come to heal us of our illnesses and our diseases, and we know that the day is coming when he will do it. He will raise us from the dead. Now, there are some objections you might have as we think of our Lord and the light that he brings. You might say, for instance, "Well, Pastor, it's great that Christ is the light, but you don't know the darkness in my life. You don't know just how dark it can be out in the world." I know, I've seen it. Perhaps I don't know, but I can promise you this: our Lord knew. He knew the darkness of your life, and he knows exactly how dark it can be in the world. Remember again his crucifixion. Arrested in the middle of the night, taken through trial after trial that is not fair and not just, falsely accused, liars get heard, and he remains silent. Oh, he knows the darkness. He knows it well. There's no question that he knows whatever darkness you've seen or you are struggling with or you are sitting in. It is not too great for him. Or another objection you might have. Well, Pastor, it's great that Christ is the light, but the light is so little and the darkness is so great. And on the one hand, I agree. It is a little light. A light that was small enough to fit in a manger on Christmas. And yet that light has the full power and strength of God himself. That light is the very same light that in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was, over the entire universe and creation. And he is the one whose light will say in the end, "Let there be light again." And it will be light forever, and no darkness at all. And yes, the light may seem little as it comes to us as well. Why, the light shines to us through just a little bit of water and a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. But don't look at simply what it looks like on the outside. Hear what our Lord says about its essence, its nature. "This is my body. This is my blood." Packed away in what looks so little is a light that is so great. Great enough to drive away the darkness, great enough to shine and burn within us, and to bring us to the light that never ends. St. Paul said that the cross was foolishness to the Gentiles. And so it is. But it is the salvation of God to those who believe. In the smallness of this light is the fullness of God's promises and the fullness of our salvation. And the light that will never end, that no darkness has or can or will overcome. Dear brothers and sisters, I announce to you again today that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the kingdom of heaven has come and is coming to you in the person of Jesus Christ, that you have the salvation that God won for you when he sent his Son into the flesh. And we have this salvation now to carry us through until that day when the light dawns in full and the new creation begins. Already here we experience spiritual life. Our sins are forgiven. And we have the life of Christ in us. What more could we want for this time? And so our Lord began his ministry in Galilee, in the region and land of darkness. And he has continued his ministry here, in the region and land of darkness where we live, but with a light that no darkness can overcome. Our Gideon has arisen, and he has battled the darkness, and he has defeated it, and he will come again in great glory. And Zeba and Zalmunna will be gone forever, and Midian's power will be broken for all eternity. This is the promise we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name.